Good morning. How is everybody doing this morning? Good. Before we get started this morning, I wanted to say a big thank you to all of our church family for all of the thoughts and prayers and love and support and all of the thoughts that we got while we were in the hospital. It really did mean a lot to us, so we thank you all very much for that. And with that, I just wanted to say that we should be proud of the church family that we have, because there is a lot of love and support that's in this church, and we should all be very proud of that. With that, I'm going to take a very right turn, and I am going to tell a story about that was in the hospital, and I'm going to apologize in advance for it. I did receive permission to tell this story, and bear with me because there is some substance here, so just bear with me. So when we were in the hospital after Tana had her procedure, she had an endoscopy and they put a stent in. And so after the procedure, since she was on the anesthesia, she wasn't having any bowel movement. And so the doctor prescribed her with some laxatives, trying to help, you know. So the first day they give her two rounds and nothing really happens. Well, each night I was sleeping at the foot of the bed. I had my head and my back kind of on the foot of the bed, and then my feet were kind of sprawled off on a chair to the other side. They don't give you a lot of furniture in the hospital, but that's how I was sleeping. So the next morning rolls around, and the nurse comes in, and she was really, really nice. Really nice nurse, but she was very soft-spoken and very quiet. And it was about 6 o'clock in the morning, so that may have had to play in with this story. But she comes in, and she tells Tana, she had a little bit of an accent, but she was really nice. But she tells Tana in this whisper, she said, "Okay, Tana." I don't know if y'all can hear me. "Okay, Tana, so the doctor prescribed 2 more laxatives, so we're going to have the fast one, and then we're going to have the second one. So if the fast one doesn't work, we'll have to take the second one." And she goes, okay. And I'm laying there, and I'm not really awake yet, and I'm thinking to myself, what did she just say? And a light bulb goes off in my head for whatever reason, and I throw the blanket off, and I said, "So how fast are we talking, like 30 seconds or like 5 minutes?" She goes, no, sir. I said, "The first one and the second one." I apologize. So with that being said, there are a lot of times we get messages in our life that we sometimes misinterpret. And the message we're going to talk about today has a little bit to do with some misinterpretations from messages of God that we receive. And so with that being said, if you'll stand for the reading of God's word, we'll be reading in 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 6. And it says, "Now Elijah, the Tishbite from Tish in Gilead, said to Ahab, 'As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word.' Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, 'Leave here, turn eastward, and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have directed the ravens to supply you with food from there.' So he did what the Lord told him. He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook." Please pray with me. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the very many blessings that you've given us, dear God. I pray that you let this message sink into the hearts of our church, and I pray that it's presented in a manner that's worthy and pleasing to you, dear God. We ask all these things in your name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And so, a while back, I had preached a sermon on Elijah. And in that sermon, we talked a lot about how God has such a great power over our life and how he can do such miraculous things. And at times, we have to remember not to focus on our problems, but remember the miracles that he can perform in our lives. So if you recall, Elijah had predicted a 3-year drought. He later prays a widow's son be brought back to life, calls for more rain to come after the drought, has his sacrifice soaked in water to be lit on fire by God, and then he defeats the Baal prophets on Mount Carmel. So all of this is happening after this drought in 1 Kings 18 and 19. And in that sermon, we talked about the miracles in Elijah's life that had happened. But after these miracles, Queen Jezebel sends him a messenger to tell him she is going to come after him and kill him for killing all of these Baal prophets. So Queen Jezebel is able to get into the prophet's head with just a little message. And Elijah runs to the point where he wants to give up and ask God to take his life at a broom bush in 1 Kings chapter 19. A point where Elijah felt the weight of the world on his back. Thankfully, though, Elijah did not let this stop him. We later read in 1 Kings 19, the Lord appeared to Elijah to feed and guide him back to anoint Elisha as a prophet. The Lord had provided just enough for Elijah to complete God's purpose for his life. God still pulls Elijah through to fulfill his purpose. So again, in that last sermon, we focused on the miracles that God had performed. We need to remember those in times of tragedy. And as I was trying to prepare the sermon for this morning, God kept telling me to go back to the brook and go back to the widow's house. And it was as if God was telling me I had left something there and I'd forgotten something there. And as I'm trying to prepare this sermon, I had heard a preacher say that we have to take our eyes off of our problems and keep our eyes on God's promise. And that really stuck with me, and that opened my eyes to what may have been left here at the brook and at the widow's house. So a little bit of background before we get there, but before Elijah predicted this drought, Ahab became king of Israel and reigned over Samaria for over 22 years. It was said that Ahab did more evil in the eyes of the Lord than any other king of Israel before him, and he had begun to worship a pagan idol, Baal. Now, this pagan idol was said to be the god that brought rains and great harvests. So at this time, it was quite a big deal for Elijah to predict a drought from a different god other than Baal. But this is what prompted the Lord to allow Elijah to prophesy this drought over Israel to show who the one true God over Israel is. And although Elijah predicted this drought, the Lord promises to take care of Elijah during this time. He directs Elijah to go to a brook and gives him birds to bring him bread and meat. And I find myself at times picturing Elijah at this brook, and I want you all to kind of think of this as well. So Elijah's sitting at this brook, and as each day goes by, it doesn't say how long he's there in the Bible, but I'm assuming it's a long time because this drought was a 3-year period. But as each day goes by, there's a little less water, and a little less water, and a little less water. And Elijah has to be thinking to himself, there's a time clock, knowing that he will have to do something pretty soon if he is to survive. And once we look at this scripture through our human perspective, that's very reasonable to think. See, I try to call myself a planner, although it seems like nothing I plan ever goes as it should. Many times I'll ask Ben, well, if we plant this seed, how many bales of hay can we get? Or if we use this fertilizer, how much more wheat could it produce? And Ben has to reiterate to me every time, if it don't rain, it doesn't matter. And I noticed myself doing the same thing as I read this scripture about Elijah at the brook. As it is drying up day by day, I'm thinking, what's going to be his next plan? Surely he knows what he is going to do next. But that's not what the scripture tells us. The scripture doesn't talk about Elijah being worried at the brook or about anything about how he is in denial, watching his water supply deplete. The scripture doesn't say anything about his next plan of action. And the reason is because if it isn't going to rain, it isn't going to matter what he plans. And so what does he have to do? He has to wait on the Lord's direction. Many times in our life, we have to do the same thing. It doesn't matter what we plan. If it's not in God's will for our life, it's not going to work. And sometimes we get distracted by the weight of our problems that we forget the promise that God has for us. That's why Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own." Further in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, but to give you hope in a future." When we learn to keep our eyes focused on the promise instead of the problems, we'll have a better realization of God's control over our lives. But sometimes we as humans find that very hard to do. These problems begin to feel too heavy, like we can't look past them. And I want us to think about Elijah in that same position. Don't you think that Elijah, it would have been hard for him to look past his water supply depleting every single day? All he had to look at every day was his water supply running out. It's got to be pretty heavy for him to know this. But he knows that he can't take his eyes off of God's promise. God put him there for a reason, and he has to keep his faith that he is acting in God's will so God will protect and provide for him. And for those of you that might be thinking the weight of our problems are too big to look past, God gives us some great advice in the next part of Elijah's story. So we're going to continue reading 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 7 through 16. And it starts in verse 7. "Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, 'Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow to supply you with food.'" So just like God had promised, as the brook dries, he gives further guidance to Elijah. And there are many of us in our lives today that feel like our brook may be drying. It may be your bank account, our food, our health, our spirit. Whatever it may be patient for God's next guidance in your life. He will come and provide. It is a promise. But we have to keep our faith and keep our eyes on his promise and not the problem. Further in verse 10, it says, "So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, 'Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?' As she was going, he called back to her, 'And please bring me a piece of bread.' So she turned and replied, 'As surely as the Lord your God lives, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son so that we may eat and we may die.'" You see, the drought that Elijah had predicted for these 3 years, it was affecting everybody in this land. God told Elijah at the brook, "Go to this widow in Zarephath and she will feed you." But when he gets there, the widow tells him she only has enough food for one last meal for her son, and then thinks she is going to die from starvation. That's some bad news, right? That's not what Elijah thought was going to happen. It's not in Elijah's plan, and it must have been a big, heavy thing for Elijah to hold if he takes his focus off of God's promise and puts it on that problem. He may have looked and asked to God, "God, you told me to come here. I was obedient. I don't understand. God, is this the fast laxative or is this the first laxative? Because I really need to know." But he keeps his eye on God's promise and not the problem. You see, later in verse 13, it says, "Elijah said to her, 'Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. Then you may make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." So she went away and did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for her and for her family and for Elijah. For the jar of flour was not used up, nor did the jug of oil run dry, keeping the word of the Lord as spoken by Elijah. Did you see what happened when Elijah kept his eyes on the promise? God provided for them. Just as Elijah tells the widow, I feel like God is telling us the same thing in our life. Don't be afraid, but first make a small loaf for me. You see, God doesn't ask us for miracles. God doesn't ask us to be miraculous. God doesn't ask for us to handle the weight of the world and for us to control these big problems in our life. That's His job. All God asks us for is just a little, just a small loaf, not a big loaf, a small one, just a little faith and a little effort. And sometimes I have to admit, we feel like the widow in this story. But God, I only have a little. It's only a handful of flour and barely any oil. I don't have enough. I don't have what it takes. I'm only me. I'm small. I'm weak. And my problems are so big. But God doesn't ask for you to set your eyes on your problems. He asks you to set your eyes on His promise. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." You see, God's got control of the big things in your life. You don't have to feel the pressure and the weight of the world because we have a providing Savior no matter what the situation is. All we have to do is focus on the promise and do the small things that He asks. And I wanted to read some more examples from the New Testament where Jesus reiterates this. In Matthew chapter 15, Jesus feeds thousands with just a few loaves of bread and a few fish. He only needs a little. In Luke chapter 5, when Simon had fished all night and caught nothing, but Jesus said, "Cast your net out a little," and he caught so many fish, the boat started sinking. He just needs a little. In Matthew 14, when he told Simon Peter to get out of the boat and just take a step out on the water, to walk on the water. He just needs a little. In the Old Testament, there is many examples of this as well. In 1 Samuel 17, he used David, a small boy, to take down Goliath. And David used just a small stone. He only needs a little. In Judges chapter 6, when Gideon is told he will defeat the Midianites, but he replies to God, "But I'm the weakest clan. I'm from the weakest clan, and I'm the least in my family." But that's okay, because he only needs a little. And then in 1 Kings 17, when the widow only has a little flour to feed her son, her last meal, he just needs a little. You see, we've got to stop focusing on our problems and remember God's promise of provision in our lives. One of my favorite songs out right now is titled Sparrows by Corey Asbury. On the way home from the hospital, Tana and I listened to it quite a few times, and it starts off with these lyrics. "The sparrow isn't worried about tomorrow or the troubles that come. The lily isn't thinking about the seasons, the drought, or the flood. The tree that's planted by the water isn't fazed by the fire. So why should I be? Because you take good care of me." God is our water and our life source. And if we plant, if we plant ourselves in this and in His promises, He will provide for us. But when we all focus on the weight of the problems and distract us, we'll perish. If Elijah had focused on all of these problems, he would have drove himself crazy. But we can't misinterpret God's message and God's promises in our life. Church, will you please stand with me? We're about to have a song of invitation, and during this song, I just want you to think about all that God has provided for you and all of His promises. We've all got problems that feel like they're suffocating, but I want you on this next song to just let go of those problems and solely focus on the promise that God has for you. Please pray with me. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day and thank you for the very many blessings you've given us. Dear God, I pray that you just let this message sink into the hearts of our church. And I pray that we carry this with us throughout our lives to focus on your promise to us, not the problems, but your promise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.